But the title of my sermon is, You're Not in This Alone, so stay connected. I was at camp meeting, and there's this guy that I know, and he was ushering. So he was involved, he was ushering. But when I walked past him, I thought, and I believe it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me, something's not right with him right now. And so I think it was the following day, I stopped and I talked to him. I said, are you okay? And it wasn't just that somebody will walk out, hey, how you doing? They don't really want to know how you're doing. They just want, it's just kind of a casual greeting. Well, what I've done before is somebody walks up to me and says, hey, how you doing? I said, well, let me tell you about it. And they're like, I don't really want to know how you're doing. But I did ask him how he was doing. And what was his response? He said, I'm okay. And I knew he wasn't okay. And so I asked him again. I said, are you sure you're okay? And he said, yeah, I'm okay. Now, this is a guy who's normally upbeat, normally got a smile on his face, and neither one of those things were happening. I asked him one more time, are you sure? He said, yeah, I'm okay. So I left, but I let him know that, you know, I'm here. I'll be here for the week. You can come talk to me if you want. And didn't come to me. Well, we're coming back to Illinois, and I get a phone call. And he's in my contact, so his name comes up. He called me. He said, you know, when I told you that I was okay, he said, I wasn't. I said, I know. And, you know, the devil had been beating him up. I mean, this is a guy who's spent 4 years at Bible college. Anybody know the devil can still, he doesn't quit just because you're in Bible college? He doesn't stop attacking just because you're studying the Word. Matter of fact, if you're studying the Word, you're the joke, not joker, you're the one that he is after. If you're not studying the Word, you're no threat. If you're not doing the Word, you're no threat. But if you are, you're a threat. So here he is at Bible college, and he's saying, you know, I just feel like I'm not in the plan of God for my life. And he was telling me, he says, I feel like I've failed. He said, I feel like, you know, the things that I've told God I would do, I haven't followed through on those things. Now you see what he was saying here, and what the devil will try to get you to believe is, I feel. I feel. What are we moved by? Faith or feelings? He kept saying things. Now, could that have just been a figure of speech? That's just how people talk. I don't know. But I believe that he was feeling that he wasn't fulfilling these roles, these things that God had told him to do. So what did I do? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do you combat the things of the devil? How do you beat up the devil? You beat him up with the Word of God. What did Jesus do when he was being tempted? How did he beat up the devil? With the Word of God. But I always love that passage too. In one of the sections there, one of the Gospels, it says, he left him to come back at another time. He wasn't done with Jesus. The devil's not done with us. But I got an opportunity to share the Word with him, to try to instill the Word with him, into him, to help build his faith back. Because he was down. Like I said, this was a person that you visibly could tell that he was different. So what did I do after we got off the phone there with him? I marked it in my calendar to call him this next Friday just to see how he's doing. You're not in this alone. If you're in my shoes and he's in his shoes, he's not in that alone. He's a guy that I know. I've known for 4 years now. But I want him to know he's not alone in this. Because you can feel like you're alone. And you can, most of the time when people are going through things like this, what do? They isolate themselves. And when you isolate yourself, man, the devil's going to have a field day with you. Because now you're into, oh, poor me. And when you isolate yourself and things like this start happening, you can either get a little or a lot flaky in what you believe. Because the devil's going to lie to you. You know, I look at people who are traveling ministers. And if a traveling minister doesn't have a place that he calls his home church, and if he doesn't have a place that he calls his home pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to any of his meetings. Because he get out there, he can get a little flaky. We need each other. We need to position ourselves to where we're not alone in our walk with God. You know, there's guys that we know. Marvin Yoder. Anybody know Marvin? You realize Marvin has a home church? You realize Marvin has a pastor? Mark Hankins, anybody ever heard of him? He's got a home church, a pastor. Tony Cook, anybody? He's got a home church, he has a pastor. Now they all happen to be Pastor Hagin and Rhema Bible Church, but they traveled, they have some place that they say, that's my home, that's my pastor. He can speak things into me. And then they go out and they share the gospel. But they stay connected with their company. Y'all have a company. Look around the room. This is your company. We need to stay connected with our company. We're not alone. I've got a one of our daughters one time. She was going to make this decision, and I told her, I said, "Okay, here's what you could do in this situation. Let her know she's not alone in this. I'm here to help you." And what did she say? "Dad, can't you just let me make my own mistakes?" Well, why would you want to if I can help you not make a mistake? Well, what did she do? She made her own decision, and she made a big mistake. She didn't have to. We go through things in our lives. There's situations that we're involved in, potentially even right now, that we're feeling like we have to sit here and make this decision on our own, and we're really not sure what to do. Now, you just don't go blabbing everything to anybody, because not anybody and everybody needs to know. But if you've got a company, if you've got a core group of people that you feel like you can share something with, share it with them. So they can pray with you. They can believe with you. I have a friend that we had an understanding that I could say anything to him and he could say anything to me. We share anything back and forth like this. And we knew that it would never go any further than those two people. And he knew that if he was being goofy, I could tell him, "Hey, you're being goofy." And if I was being goofy, which it's been known to happen, he could tell me, "I'm being goofy." And we couldn't get mad at each other. Oh, how many people would get offended if somebody told them they're being goofy? I'm looking around the room here. Can I call anybody goofy and they wouldn't get offended? I wouldn't do that. But if I would see something in somebody's life that's detrimental, that's something that's going to hurt them, then I would say something. And we should be able to do that with each other. We should know that we are connected. And not just LifePoint Church, but the body of Christ in general. We're connected, but this is the company we run with. And so she made that mistake, you know. But, you know, I've been there, like I said earlier, I've been there where I feel like I'm in it alone. And I have to do everything or it won't get done. It won't get done right. And there's pressure in that. Working at the prison, you know, all those years, Carrie will tell you, I never brought the job home. I never talked about it at home. She doesn't know anything about the prison unless I've let it slip out. Would she understand? Nope. Doesn't matter what she went through in Springfield when they showed her this big old board about this high and about that wide also of all the homemade weapons that they make within prison. And the prison, they gave them everything they needed to make a weapon. And showed them that, the dangers that would be there. And you know, you can see that on a board, but to actually walk it out, she wouldn't understand. Now, did I have other people that I could talk to about it? Yeah, people who would understand. And even born-again Christians that worked at the prison, they would understand. But I never felt like I needed to bring it home. I felt like I was never alone with Jesus with me. I felt like I was never alone. And I was able to walk things out within that prison there that some people couldn't do. I had people tell me, they said, "Boy, Rick, you just don't look and act like you would be a prison guard. You're too nice." I said, "Well, I know how to turn it on and I know how to turn it off." And when I got out, walked out those doors, I turned it off and never turned it on at home. But feeling like you're alone, feeling like you know you're not doing things right. I've never felt like, this is kind of a confession period here a little bit too. I believe a minister should be transparent. A minister, they should know. Sometimes people view the minister as, "Oh, he's on this level here." I even said that this last week, and I don't know why I said it. I'm sitting with a group of my RMAI guys at the Cheesecake Factory, which Carrie and I didn't go eat. I've lost about 24 pounds, and she's lost some too. And so we're going. So we didn't eat there because we knew we had a meal coming a little bit later. But anyway, we're sitting at our table. We've got these RMAI guys, ministers that I know, and we're fellowshipping. And I look over the wall at this other group of ministers, and I was talking to somebody. I said, yeah, those next level ministers are sitting over there. Why did I say that? Because I've actually had one of those ministers, I was having a conversation with him, and one of them, another guy walks up and he turns away from me in my mid-sentence. And I thought, okay. Anyway, but he's a nice guy. He is really a nice guy. But, you know, with my kids and Father's Day, I never felt like I was, there were times when I felt like I wasn't the best father. Felt like I was just on my kids all the time. And so when Father's Day came around, there was sometimes I felt that Father's Day, I just wished that it would pass without mention. That we didn't even look at the calendar and realize it was Father's Day. Feeling alone. But then your kids come along and they encourage you and they say nice words about you. Even post them online but say nice words about you and you realize, okay, I'm not in this alone. They're with me. You know, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 5 here. But you know, the devil, that's what he wants us to feel. He wants us to feel alone. He wants us to be isolated. I mean, when you've got hunters, when you've got predators out there, they look for the young and they look for the weak and they look for those that are separated from their herd. This is our herd. Those that are separated from their herd, and that's who they attack. The devil's job, he hasn't changed from the beginning. His job, his purpose, what he's designed to do is to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's what his intent is to do. And if he can get you to feel like you're in this walk alone and he can isolate you, he will try to destroy you. But what does Jesus say? He said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. You're not alone. Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 17. It says, and now it happened on a certain day. Now, when you read the Bible and it says a certain day or a certain man, this isn't a parable. This isn't about, they're not talking hypothetically. This actually happened. So it says, and now it happened on a certain day as he, Jesus, was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town in Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay down before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and they let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven. Let's stop right there. It says back up here in verse 17, it says, and he was teaching, talks, and it listed all those people, and it said the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Teaching sets up an atmosphere for healing to take place. In James, well, we'll hold off on James here for a second, but it sets up an atmosphere for healing to take place. As we're teaching right now, as the Word of God is going forth, and we just read that one verse right there, it says, as he was teaching, the power of God was present to heal them. You could come down here right now. The power of God is present to heal right now. Some people will say, oh, I'm just sensing the power of God is here. Now's the time. We don't want to wait until tomorrow because I'm not sure. When we're teaching, the power of God is present to heal. When Jesus went back to his hometown, he said he couldn't do much teaching or much healing because of their unbelief. But then it talks about how he went about teaching. How do you cure unbelief to set up an atmosphere of healing and other things? By teaching. And it says, and when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up onto the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. They weren't giving up. He's got four crazy friends carrying him around on his bed. And then they get up on a roof, and you know they had to tie a rope to all four corners there and lower him down. Now, how high this roof was, I don't know. But you hope that they're letting it all down at the same time. You know, there might be more faith in that. But they weren't giving up. They were looking for an opportunity, because I looked at this here, and it says here that, behold, they brought a man on the bed, paralyzed. Okay, when they couldn't get in because of the crowd. That's telling me that they're all gathered up like this. And excuse me. Whew, we can't get in this place. All right, well, what are we going to do? We're going to figure it out. Hey, let's go up onto the roof. Let's rip some tiles out of the roof. Who has that idea? Who has that idea? Have you ever had a Bible study in your house and somebody goes up on your roof with an axe and starts chopping a hole through your roof? Because you locked the doors, or people, a whole bunch of people, whatever it may. But they went up onto this roof. They weren't giving up. They weren't letting anything deter them. And this guy on the mat, he wasn't alone. He had four crazy friends with him. And then it goes on down here into verse 20. It says, when he saw their faith. Man, how in the world do you see faith? Well, let's take a look at that. Let's turn to James chapter 2. How do you see faith? We're going to read about 10 verses here. And I'm going to read them slowly. Starting with verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, your faith, without feeding them, is dead. Your faith without some sort of corresponding action is dead. If you have faith and you don't act upon that faith, it just sits there. It's dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works, by my corresponding action. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? How many times is he going to say that your faith needs a corresponding action? You need to act upon your faith. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? He believed that God would rescue his boy. But he did what God told him to do. He acted upon it. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by his works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works, its corresponding action, is also dead. When he saw their faith, he said to them, five men believing the teachings of Jesus, believing that he was the healer, joined together, faith believing, the man laying on the mat, he wasn't in this alone, came to where Jesus was. They couldn't get in. to place him at the feet of Jesus to heal him. So they said, come on, we're not giving up. You know, we're still believing. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are saying. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report is saying. We're not giving up. We still have faith that God is the God who can complete any task. We're still believing that whatever it is that we're believing for with regards to healing, God is still the God. We're not giving up. I'm joining my faith with other like-minded people, and we know that God will come through in and every situation. Whew. So they carried the guy up to the roof, tore off the shingles, let him down through there, placed him in front of Jesus. Their faith, with a corresponding action, Jesus saw that. He saw their faith. He saw that they had a I'm not giving up attitude. I believe Jesus. I trust him. I'm not giving up. And they did what it took. They were in unity. They were one in their belief. Four crazy friends. Anybody got four crazy friends? I see Marilyn's got four crazy friends. Whew, good. You're going to need them someday. I've got four crazy friends. People who will believe with me no matter what. When we come into this place here, it needs to be unity. You got something against somebody, fix it. We and God together in unity can accomplish anything. We're not in this alone. Verse 21 said, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately, he rose up before them, took up his what he was had been lying on, and departed to his house, glorifying God. Yeah! And not just him, I believe the five guys that were walking with him, that were believing with him, that were carrying him where he needed to go, I believe all five of them lifted their voices and were praising God and went back to their home. And when people saw it, they started, oh, this is crazy. Because if you go on here to read, it says here, and they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange and amazing things today. We got to get to the point where those things there, they aren't strange and amazing. They're normal. But what's it going to take? It's going to take like-minded people, like-minded faith, walking this thing out together with Jesus. You're not in this alone. I look at this passage of Scripture here, and God's no respecter as a person, and he's no respecter of time periods. What happened then, the same principle then, same thing happens today. He says he's what? The same yesterday, today, and forever? So back then, today, and into the future. He's not going to change. We may need to be doing some changing to get in line with him and his word, but he will never change. And when we do get in line with him, the things of God, like I said earlier, they're inevitable. They have to happen. They've got to happen because his word says that they will happen. Now, Jesus, he isn't here physically like he was here in this passage here, but his spirit's here and his word is here. So it doesn't matter whether he's here physically or not. The same things that happened then can happen today. Well, how can we reassure ourselves and how can we build ourselves up with that whole plan, with that whole idea? You go back to the word. Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. These five men joined together in this previous passage here and acted upon what Jesus had said and what they saw him do. When we take the word of God and we get it on the inside of us and we get a matter-of-fact attitude, I've said it many a times, I've got one verse, two verses that to me are just so matter-of-fact. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we ask. How many we knows do we have in that passage? So my thinking right now is whatever I ask, and if it's in line with his word, I know that I have it. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's healing, whether it's finances, whether you're feeling depressed, whether you're feeling alone, whether you just lost your whatever. I know that I have what I ask. We're not alone. In Matthew 18, 19, it says, "And again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst, in their midst." If two or three of you agree on earth concerning anything, anybody got any concerns, anything that they're going through right now? Well, come on. Come on down. This just came to me right now. Come on down then. Boy, Rick, you got some shock going on here. Okay, now we've got somebody coming down that has a need. Where's my two or three? My two or three, come on. Come on down, my two or three. This is a little bit out of the ordinary, but who wants to be ordinary? I need two or three, come on. Okay, I got one. Okay, we have to act upon the Word of God. If the Word of God says that there's somebody that's going through something, they have a need, he says where two or three come together as touching, and it'll be done. We agree together. What's your need? We have two or three here. We've got more than two or three here. We're going to be agreeing with Verna for peace in her life and being a good steward with money. We're going to pray. Father God, I just thank you right now that you said where two or three are gathered together and agree upon as touching. We can ask and it's done. So Father, right now, we know that your word says that you will give the peace that passes all understanding. And so right now, Father, we receive that, and Verna receives that into her heart, into her spirit right now, that when she's faced with circumstances that would bring unrest in her life, that would bring a sense that of anger or disruption in her life, Father, that your word will be brought back to her, that you give the peace that passes all understanding, that she will have something that she can trust in, that she can rely upon. Bring peace into her household. And Father, with the regards to her finances, you said that you would supply all of our needs according to her riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So Father, the needs that she has in her life and the supply that you give her to meet those needs, Father, that supply goes to those needs and that is meant only for those needs. And Father, that she is a good steward of that. And Father, I pray right now that you remind her that you supply her need, that you give her the things that she needs to meet her needs, and that you require her to be a good steward of that. And we thank you and praise you that we're going to have a good report on this. And we will hear back from her, knowing and seeing the goodness of your hand in her life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. That was something that I believe that the Holy Spirit wanted done, but it's also something when you are out and amongst people in your life, there's going to be people that say, oh, hey, could you pray for me? I'm going through XYZ. Okay, we'll be praying for you. No, pray for them right now. Pray for them now. If somebody has a need, she had a need, let's pray now. Will we always do that like that? Maybe not, but that, I believe that, I believe the Holy Spirit, I believe we're going to have a great report on that. I believe we'll have a great report on that. But when people ask you to pray, pray now. We're not in this alone. Stay connected. I talk about, you know, we're going to come back with some big faith message. Well, it takes faith to listen to the Holy Spirit to have this something like that happen. It takes faith when you're out in amongst your people, the people you work with, whoever it may be, when they have, man, could you pray with me? I know you're a Christian. Could you pray for me about blah, 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 X, Y, Z? And you say, oh, yeah, I'll go home and no, pray for them right now. They need you right now. People need to know that they're not alone. They need you right now. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of them. He's here. He's here. In James chapter 5, starting with verse 13, it says, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, coming into agreement. And it says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. That's what I just said. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It says here, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Healed spirit, soul, and body. We go through things physically. We go through things emotionally. We go through a lot of different things. And it says here that when we come together and pray, we'll be healed. But what I wanted to get at in this whole passage here, it's a faith passage, but it's a passage to let you know you're not in this alone. Call on people. If you're going through something, call on people. He said he'll never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord's my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? He's telling us in this passage here, you're not alone. I'm harping on it today. You're not alone. And as the body of Christ, when we see somebody who's struggling, we need to reach out to them. Let them know they're not alone. You see so many people that feel like they've been left alone that they tend to fall away. All of a sudden, one Sunday they've been faithful here at church, and then all of a sudden you don't see them anymore. What happened? Well, you come to find out, it's like they were hurting, and they felt like they were alone, like nobody was reaching out. I had the lady I was talking to here last week, I think it was, talking about how they had been to a church and they weren't made to feel welcome. I said, come on, we got people that'll make you feel welcome. We got people in this place here that'll make you feel like you're not a stranger. In a place, we'll make you feel like you've been one of the family for a while. People need to know that they're not alone. I've got another big long passage here, but I'm not going to read that one there. Matter of fact, I'm going to land this plane in about 3 minutes here. had a week of nothing but faith teaching. Three services a day, 2 hours per service, all week long. And I saw some things within those services, within myself, where I may have been failing in some areas. So to go back there and be amongst that company of believers that I was a part of for almost 4 years, I was encouraged. To see some of the instructors that I had and some of the associate pastors that know me come to me and say, man, we're rooting for you. I've been kind of known, and some of you will recall this, known for saying, I'm on your team. Whatever you're going through, I'm on your team. You can count on me. I'm going to give it 100%. So for me to go back there and have people tell me they're on my team, I had one of them who's the worship leader for the church. He runs the worship department there. And before we left, when he first saw us, he came running up to us and gave us a big old hug. Man, I miss you guys. When we left, he said, whatever you need, you let me know. Now, I wanted to tell him, I need your number one keyboard player. No, not keyboard. I told him, we have a worship team. I was so thankful, I told him, when I walked into this place that there was a worship team in place. But they told me, there's anything I need, let them know. That let me know that I wasn't alone. So I'm telling you that if there's anything you need, you can ask me, but turn to the person next to you and realize that you're not alone. Somebody in this place is here and they're with you and they're for you. They're on your team. Father, I just thank you for this morning that we've had here today, and I thank you that it was an encouragement to me as I was speaking, that to know that I've got a company of believers that I can count on. That if I call upon them at 2 o'clock in the morning and they see that it says Rick Medeiros on there, they won't just ignore the phone call, but they'll pick it up. Because obviously he's going through something. And same way. Father, you put us on this earth to do this together. You being the head, and each one of us being a part of the body, working in connection with one another in accordance to what you have placed it within us. And so, Father, as we leave this place here today, we leave it with an idea, with an attitude that we can call upon you and we can call upon one another. And know in both cases that you will answer and they will answer. Father, continue to show us in your word that when you said you would never leave us or forsake us, you have many of example in your word that shows that. And as we continue in your word, Father, our faith is built, knowing that we can trust in you. And knowing that in your word in Hebrews, it says that not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but that we're to come and encourage one another, especially as that day approaches. I never like to close the service, and everybody in this service may be born again, but I never like to close a service without giving somebody the opportunity to receive Jesus as their Savior. If you're watching online, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, now's the time. Now's a great time. But those who are here, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, or if you have fallen away and you just don't feel like you're in the position that you should be in, and those of you online also, if you've fallen away and don't feel like you're in the position that you should be in regards to your relationship with Jesus, I'm going to ask those that are here to come forward on either one of those calls, and you that are home and watching online, just to reach out your hand to the whatever device you're watching on, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray that you'll receive Jesus as your Savior, or if you've fallen back, that you'll come back to the Father. If there's anybody here, we'll We'll take just a few more seconds. Looks like we're all good here. But let's, those of us here, let's pray together. Let's repeat after me as we pray with those who may be watching online, for the, those who are coming to Jesus for the first time for salvation. Father, I just thank you that you love me. And I thank you that you sent your son to die for me. And that he was buried. And that he rose again to make a way for me to spend eternity with him. So right now I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead and that he is my Savior. In Jesus' name.